Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, are the Christmas trees up? Are there any gifts under that tree? Hey, are you playing the Christmas songs? I love this time of year. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. This is when the little boy comes out of me and I just get so excited about Christmas. Always have, always will. I think it reminds us of the good news that God sent his son, Jesus. He came from heaven to earth. He came for you and he came for me. Now, as we make our way towards Nativity and towards this special season, I think we've got to remember that this is a time of hope. I know with COVID and everything that's happened this year, it's been a trying time for a lot of us. It's been a difficult season for so many people. It's been a time of uncertainty. And even talking with some great Christian friends over this last couple of weeks, I've been saying to them, well, are you looking forward to Christmas? I believe it's going to be a good Christmas. And one of them replied this way. He said, I hope so. And I could tell by his response that based on the previous months, that he just wasn't sure how Christmas was going to play out. And I think there's a danger here that even approaching this season that we could be indifferent, that we could adopt a let's wait and see approach. Let's see what the government is going to say. And we could almost have a sense of hopelessness. In fact, it's Proverbs 13:12 that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, when hope seems delayed, or it actually means when it's been dragged out, or we're having to wait and wait and wait and wait, and this drawn out period of time can make hope just go to the background and make us anxious and fearful and afraid, that we become disappointed, and for some of us, let's be honest, disillusioned. But I think as Christians, don't you, that we should be hopeful and hope-filled. Why? Because Christmas reminds us of this important message. God has a plan for mankind. I was listening just very recently to that lovely Christmas carol written by Philip Brooks in 1868 after he had visited the Holy Land, a little town of Bethlehem. And I love this line, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. Listen to this. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's the message of hope. And that's what we want to speak about over this Christmas season. If you're discouraged, if you're depressed, if you're feeling down, I want to preach a hope-filled message. Because I don't want you to look down. I want you to look up. I don't want you to look around at the circumstances. I want you to look at God. And Christmas reminds you that God has got this covered, that God still got you. Well, definition of hope, a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. To want something to happen or to be true and usually have a good reason to think that it might. And then I read this recently. When we have hope, we live differently. We treat others differently. We live with purpose and adventure. Have you ever noticed when your faith is the strongest that you are hope-filled? But sometimes when your faith is weak, you become fearful. That's why the Bible continually says, fear not. That's why when the angels came with that great message to the shepherds, they said, fear not. Gabriel said to Mary, fear not. The angel said to Joseph, fear not. It is so interesting as this passage that we're going to read because we see both hope and we see an aspect of fear. And I believe that hope can come alive in this season. It's not a hope so, it's a I know so. But I believe that hope has got to have a response. We can't just sit back and wait and let's see what's going to happen. I believe that hope actually is looking for something from us. Hope has a response, and that's the title of my sermon this morning. I want to read a familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. You know it so well. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. When God is up to something, hope has got to have a response. I love this thought of living with expectation. My dad, he often, when he would get up to preach, he would say, "I've just got this feeling that something good is going to happen about the middle of next week." He lived with expectation. And you know what? Something good usually happened about the middle of next week. I think it's a skill that we can acquire in our faith walk with God, that we learn to look and discern, to pay attention to the season and literally what is happening around us. Because when we're fearful, we can become discouraged. But when we're full of hope, we're not easily discouraged. We don't give up. We don't allow depression to take hold of us. Why? Because we're living in that realm of hope. I think there are lessons that we can learn from this scripture for those of us who are disciples of Jesus. Because way back in Genesis 3, verse 15, we see that there was this prophecy and this promise that God was going to send a Messiah. God had an answer for the sin issue. And all through the Old Testament, right up to the silent years, I believe 414 prophecies that declared that God was going to send an answer for the sin issue. And they looked back, they looked forward with expectation. We look back believing and knowing that God sent his son. You know, there's something about the promises of God that we must hold on to. When I was younger, there was a saying, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." And then it changed. It changed to, "God said it, that settles it." You know, the truth is, whether you believe it or not, it is the word of God. And I believe in this season that we have got to hold on, be hope-filled, and know that what God has said is going to come to pass. I believe that God will work all things together for good to those that love him. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will make a river in the desert. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You see, believing in the promise and expectation for the fulfillment of the promise is what I believe that Christmas reminds us all about. God's always at work. Even in the midnight hour, God's working. Even when you feel it or you don't feel it, even when you see it and don't see it, you know what? God is still working. I'll tell you why God's at work, because he's fulfilling his word. And I love the fact that God is working on our behalf, but God is also working in us. Philippians 2:13, we read, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Listen, the issue is not can God. The issue is not will God. For most of us, the issue is when. I know if God's promised that it's going to come to pass, but when? When is the prodigals going to come home? God, when are you going to heal me of my sickness? When are you going to pour out a blessing? When, oh God, are you going to do what you're promised? And what do you do when you're in this place called when? Because this is when the devil will try to convince you, when there seems to be a time lag. The devil will come and say, hey, maybe God's forgotten about you. Maybe God's given up on you. Maybe God has bypassed you. That's why hope has got to have a response. And in this incredible story, we see in this narrative that God was working out his master plan. Let's look for a few moments at Mary's response, because how does God respond to our response? What does God do when he's watching what we're about to do? Because I believe there are signs in this incredible story that God was still at work. Here's my first thought. How does hope respond when you see God at work in people around you? Gabriel comes to Mary and says, hey, blessed are you, highly favored one. You're going to have a baby. Mary's wondering what on earth is going on. But do you know that the Christmas story didn't actually start with Mary? It actually begins with her cousin Elizabeth. You read early on in that chapter of Luke that we know that Elizabeth and her husband, they were righteous, they walked with God, they were obedient to him, they followed his commandments. But the Bible's very clear. They were barren. She couldn't have a child. And they were both advanced in years. Elizabeth was past childbearing age. And the Bible's very clear. Both of them were old. It would almost seem unnatural that they could have a child, but God worked on their behalf. But why now? Why not 30 years earlier? Because I know that this couple would have been praying, oh God, we want to have a baby. Oh God, when they saw other families together playing, they would have thought, God, we want to have a family just like that. Why didn't God work the miracle back then? Why now? I'll tell you why. One answer, Mary. God is about to do something so incredible in the life of Mary that the angel says, go see your cousin Elizabeth, her that was called barren, the one that was old. Guess what? She is having a baby. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. My friend, if you're feeling hopeless right now, if this season has caused you to become disheartened and you don't know where to look, I'll tell you what, find someone that is faith-filled and hopeful. Listen to the testimony of someone that's gone before you. You know what? Twice in this reading, it says that Elizabeth was 6 months, 6 months pregnant. I wonder why it mentions that. I'll tell you why. When Mary saw Elizabeth, Elizabeth didn't have to say anything. Mary just had to look. And looking at Elizabeth, she could see that something was happening. Get around people that can testify to the goodness of God. Find something you can connect with, someone that's gone before you. Someone can say, look, God did it for me. He can do it for you. And then how does hope respond when relationships start to shift and change and things begin to feel just slightly different? Have you noticed in this season it's been a time of disconnection and discomfort and things have just got a bit strange with so many people? Strained relationships is one of the things I've been hearing a lot about. And I think we need to pray and ask God, how do we respond and what does hope say during this period? You know, it's interesting. You think about this with Mary. Mary had to go to Joseph and say, guess what, Joseph, I'm pregnant. How must Joseph have felt? The Bible says that being a just man, he wanted to put her away privately. And yet the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph also and said, listen, this is a thing from God. When I read that, I see something incredible. That God was about to do something in Mary that would cause people to doubt her. Have you ever noticed that when God is beginning to do a work in you, that Sometimes he adds people into your world, but sometimes he subtracts people into your world. Sometimes you wonder why relationships are strained and you think it's because of something you've done. And I want to testify, I just sense God telling me right now, there are some of you that wonder why things are changing in your life. Let me tell you something. It's not because of what you've done. It's because God is doing a work in you. Before God can do a work through you, he will always do a work in you. And God doesn't need a crowd. Guess what? God doesn't need a big gathering to begin to do that work in you. In fact, I've discovered this. The closer I get to God and the closer I get to his purpose, the closer I get to healing, the more it seems that relationship change. Why? Because God wants me to get to that place. All I need is you, Lord. And I believe for some of you, I just sense God on this, that for some of you right now, God is doing a work in you and he's repositioning you and he's getting you ready for some great things. Don't be so concerned about the discomfort you're feeling right now, because God is filling you with hope. And then how does hope respond when God changes your plans? Well, 2020, what a year, huh? What about all those sermons that we preached the first week of January? Hope-filled, faith-filled, we are going to take territory. Look what we're going to do. This is what I've discovered. I may have my plans, but God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Vision boards for 2020, five-year plans. Oh, we know what we're going to be doing. But then God changes your plans. He did it for Mary. Notice the angel of the Lord never said, Mary, is this a good time for you to get pregnant? Is this a good idea? Mary had everything set in motion. She was engaged. She's getting ready for a wedding. Could you imagine the folk talking? Could you imagine the rumor mill? Now they're going to have a private service. Everything is changing. I tell you, it would have been so easy to be discouraged in this moment. But no, hope filled because God was in it. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that appears right to man, but the end leads to death. I'm so glad for God's way and not my way. There's been so many times in my life that I thought I knew better. And I am so glad that God brought correction. That was his grace to me. Revelations 3 and 7, we read that God will open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. I am so glad for closed doors in my life. There were seasons that I thought it was good and God said no. There were times that I wanted to go a certain route and God said no. Thank you, Jesus, as I look back now for God's plans and not my plans. You know what I've discovered? God will always redirect you to something better. I've said this often. I never wanted to be a pastor. I'm going to be honest. That was never in my plans. When Phyllis married me, she never married a pastor. She married a bass player. We were going to travel in America, travel with my brother Philip. I had a green card. Eventually, we were going to set up home there. Hey, we were going to live the dream. I had a green card, but then God seemed to close that door for us to travel, and I ended staying here in Peterhead. At the time, I wasn't sure about it. You know what? The best thing that ever happened to me. I started teaching at our Bible school, our training center. I began to integrate and work with students. I began to discover what it meant to lead services and MC services, and here I am. 38 years later, I can look back and say, thank you, Jesus, that it wasn't my plans, but your plans at work in my life. You see, right now, some of you are feeling hopeless because you think 2020 has shattered your dreams and your plans and your desires and everything that you had visioned. Could it be that God is rerouting you because he has an incredible destiny for you? Well, Mary sees God at work in Elizabeth. She's aware that relationships are changing, and God has changed her plans. But what's Mary's response? Because that's the title of this sermon. Hope has a response. Well, we read it in Luke 1, verse 38, where Mary says these incredible words, "Let it be to me according to your word." What a statement of surrender. With everything that's happening, with all the change that's going on in our world, with relationships strained, knowing that people are going to doubt her, knowing that people are going to look at her and go, uh-huh, and point fingers, guess what? Mary was willing to surrender to the will of God. Could it be, my friend, that God is challenging you over this Christmas season to stop struggling and start surrendering? Could it be that he's taking you from your way to his way? Maybe it's time that we stop praying, "Lord, use me," and we actually started to pray, "Lord, will you make me usable?" One thing I've discovered over my years, that hands lifted are the universal sign of surrender. I tell you what, maybe this hope-filled season, God is looking for you and looking for I to come to that place of total surrender, where we say, "Here is my hope response to disappointment, to disillusionment. When I see God blessing others, when I'm aware that relationships are perhaps a little bit strained, when I realize that my plans have been changed over these last few months, God, here I am, and I surrender to your will, and I surrender to your way, because you will make a way where there seems to be no way." Hey, my friend, you're listening to my voice right now. You do not know Jesus. Somehow you've tuned in, or you found us on Facebook or YouTube, and here is this pastor preaching about hope in a season of despair. I wonder what your response is going to be. What's your response going to be to the love of God? Because Christmas reminds us that God sent his son to be born of a virgin who one day would die on a cross, that you and I could come into relationship with Father God. The Bible's very simple. It tells us that if we ask Christ to come in our life, he'll forgive us of our sins, and he'll give us a relationship with Jesus. If that's you and you're saying, "Neil, I was feeling so downcast, but actually I get a sense of hope right now. I don't want this just to be a 20-minute sermon that fills you with hope. I want you to live a life filled with hope, which comes from having a relationship with Jesus." I would love to pray with you. I would love to come into agreement with you and know that you have gone from no hope to finding hope. And if that's you, if you say, "I want to say yes to Jesus," come on, would you pray together? Pray with me. "Dear Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner, but you sent Jesus as my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Become my Lord and become my Savior. This is my response to the good news of the gospel." My friend, what an incredible thing you've done right now. And Christian, I want to speak to you. If you're feeling down right now, I'm not just talking about getting that sense of "I'm up for Christmas." I want you to realize that Christmas is reminding us that God still has a plan for our life. So can I encourage you? Don't look down, don't look around, but look up, because hope has a response. God still has a plan for my life.
Welcome to the Apex Church Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.